You're listening to Microphone Check Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad. We sitting here with
Prodigy from Mobb Deep.
Hold on. You're being really modest. Hold on. We got the poet, the MC, the author, the label owner, Prodigy. Yeah.
From the infamous Mob motherfucking beat. Check it out now. I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. There's a war going on outside, no man is safe from. Could run, but you can't hide forever from these streets that we done took. I put my lifetime in between the paper's lines. I'm the quiet storm nigga who fight rhyme. P, yeah, you heard of him, but I ain't concerned with them. Nigga, I pop more guns than you holding them. Make my route.
It's good to have you here, man.
All right, no doubt. Always good to chill with you, G's.
Yo.
No, we go back.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of crazy because it's like it's been 20 years for you guys, right?
Yeah.
And we met, like, was that, like, 92, 90?
Yeah, it was probably, like, 91.
So.
Crazy how we met, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you meet?
Crazy story.
I haven't read the book, but I heard you talked about it in the book.
The crazy story. You probably don't even remember that shit.
Nah, I do remember that.
Well.
Actually, yeah, I do.
Wow. Tell the story.
From whose perspective?
If it's already in print.
Yeah, because it'd be like everybody see it different. Like.
Your perspective.
Okay, at the time, Tribe Called Quest, we were managed by Chris Lighty, rest in peace, and co-managed by Rush Management, Leo Cohen, Russell Simmons. And they had their management office on Elizabeth Street. And we were just in there just having a meeting and just heard this bop. It just heard a shot, and it was just like things
gun,
that run
gun
through your gunshot. You like the things that go through your mind, like, nah, not. We're in an environment that
not on Elizabeth Street.
Yeah, exactly. But it's Rush Management, so you know, I don't know. All of a sudden, just heard like a whole bunch of noise and just like rustling, somebody running down the stairs, and I just went out the door. I was like, yo. Chasing whoever, what was just like shadows just moving.
Okay.
It happened so fast. And I hit the corner and I see my brother just sitting there. And I'm like, why is he sitting there like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got crazy, man. It was a crazy incident.
Yeah.
Somebody got shot in the office. Then it was on the radio the next morning that we shot somebody in the office because Leo didn't want to sign us.
I didn't
like,
hear
they
that.
Made up a crazy story, and that wasn't even true. Like, it was actually the gun went off by mistake. You know what I mean? And somebody got hit, and it just got crazy.
I just felt like, for me, you know, when I got around the corner, I just had a conversation with them. It was like, you know, what happened? He explained, just went off, and I was really concerned. Like, oh no, what's gonna happen? You know, like he was just young, and I knew of them building their career. I was friends with Darren. It was Darren, right?
Yeah.
Who was like, was he managing you guys or?
Nah, he was just like helping us. Q-Tip, see, this is how we got in the building in the first place. Cause we used to cut out of school. We used to make our little demo tape in Coney Island in the projects, and then we would take our demo and we would look on like on the back of the labels. Look for the address, and then, you know, Def Jam. That was everybody wanted to be on Def Jam, so that was like our first pick. So we cut out of school, and we used to stand outside of Def Jam waiting for a rapper to come out with our little Walkman or whatever. And we seen Q-Tip came out after like 10 different other rappers, like a couple of days. We would stand outside, people was like, get out of here, shorty, I ain't got time for that. Q-Tip was the only one that actually stopped and was like, all right, I'll give y'all a listen. So he listened to our music, a few songs. And he was like, I like y'all. He's like, come in the office. I'm going to introduce y'all to some people. And after that, Q-Tip was just like, yo, look out for these kids, man. Look out for these little niggas. They dope. So then they started trying to set up a meeting for us with Russell and all that. Mm-hmm. And then that happened.
That happened. See, so like Darren, we were close to Darren because Darren worked for the management company. He was just talking about them, really excited about them. But just when all of that happened, just was like, man, like, explain why you carrying, you know, and he was explaining to me, like, you know, problems up in school. You just, and it just was kind of like, it was a reminder for me of when I was growing up, and I just was wondering, like, when will things change? And I knew that they were talented, you know? So I was just like, oh, man, like, this is, like, another young black teen just, like, you know, is falling victim to just environment and circumstances, and just kind of, like, messed me up a little bit, you know? Because he was really, like, he was upset about it, you know? It wasn't anything intentional, nothing like that. So that was our introduction.
Crazy. Yeah, so that was, like, our little intro to the music industry, crazy as it was. And of course, we didn't get no deal with Def Jam after that. It was like, oh, hell no.
It was like, we ain't mean to take it literal.
But Q-Tip still showed us love, and you know, the whole tribe, y'all showed us love, and Chris Lighty, that's our first time meeting Chris Lighty, and he ended up managing us like a few years later after that.
Got it. So how did you get to Loud?
We actually was going to sign the Bad Boy at first, because Puff was like a friend of ours, and he was just starting Bad Boy. He ain't had no artist yet, and he wanted to sign Mobb Deep first. We were going to be like the first act on Bad Boy. And then when we got that offer, at the same time, we had a friend over at the Source Magazine, Matty C, and he did the Unsigned Hype column and all that. And Matty had got a whole lot of new demo at that same time. We was talking to Puff about it, and Matty was like, yo, I just got this new job over at this company called Loud, and I played your music for Steve, and he wanted to sign y'all. So we took a meeting with Steve, and then we just weighed the options of both of the offers, and we ended up going with Steve, you know what I mean? Because he was offering more money. Mm-hmm. And I think that was it at the end of the day.
Okay. <More money. laughs> Understood. But,
history.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and then right after that, then Puff signed Biggie.
So we fast forwarded 20 years.
All right, fine.
Leave
the history behind.
No, I mean, it's important. Yeah, 1993 is when the first album came out, right?
Yeah, 93, Juvenile Hell came out.
So that was an important year in hip hop.
I agree.
Yeah.
Midnight Marauders.
Illmatic.
36 Chambers. Lethal Injection. Black Rain.
A lot of dope shit came out.
Doggy Style. The Chronic, kind of.
You said The Chronic, kind of? That was like...
December 22nd, 1992.
All right. At the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, Illmatic technically was 94, but it leaked in December. So we all think of it.
Hmm.
93.
Well, it was being cooked up.
Yeah.
So, Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Yo, that album is dope. Like, there were a lot of albums that released, you know, same day. Right. But this joint is on repeat for me. It, to me, sounds like Paid in Full without the dance tracks.
Okay.
You know, like the deep Rakim songs, just like the sound. Is
hardcore
shit. Yeah.
Good looking, man. Appreciate the word.
it's great for the climate of right now where hip hop is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
How'd you guys come up with Albert Einstein, the title, concept, and all that?
Well, I had when I first came home from my little vacation, I did a EP called Bumpy Johnson EP, and you know, I called myself Bumpy Johnson in the rap songs. That was like my little, you know, how rappers got little whatever side names, code names, or whatever, and you know, it's just a play on because my last name is Johnson. So I was trying to come up with a new idea like that, with a name. You know what I'm saying?
Like an alter ego. Kinda?
And I was kind of upset. Nah, just, you know, just to be different when you drop projects, you know, just come up with an ill slick name.
Okay.
So I was kind of upset when I seen Rick Ross had dropped out the Albert Anesthesia EP, right? Because I was like, damn, that was a good one for me. Cause that's my name, it's Albert. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't really make sense for him. You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of upset. I'm like, damn, why I ain't think of that? So I was just started thinking, like, what else can I use? And then I was like, oh, Albert Einstein, that's ill. And then I was like, that image with his tongue hanging out, just like, I kept seeing like visuals of that shit, like put it on stickers and shirts and posters everywhere. So I told Alchemist about it. He was like, whoa, that's dope, that makes sense. And then, you know, Alchemist, he like the alchemist, a scientist, so it just really all just fit together.
You two have a really good chemistry. Like, you go a long way. Like,
and his tag is, it's you.
Yeah, that's voice, me saying, right? Alchemist.
When did that happen? Like, right away?
It was like, Alchemist started sending his beats out to people, trying to get placements on albums and whatnot. And a lot of people would, like, jack his beats and just put them on mixtapes. Mm. Oh, shit. Put them on mixtapes without paying for it, like, you know what I'm saying? And we were trying to think of a way how to, like, stop that. So we started tagging the beats, you know what I mean? So people at least know who made the beat if they're going to take it and put it on the mixtape. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, it sounds like a movie, but it just sounds, everything is just, it's just rugged and raw.
Yeah, you know? Al, he got a real unique sound. His sound is like California, like raised, and then he got the like New York feel to it, like old school soul feel to it, like, you know, that Chicago, New York sound, Detroit.
It's like California noir.
Yeah, it's ill. Al's got an ill, unique sound to him, you know what I mean? I definitely like the direction he's going in with his music.
So what's the process? Because you're out here, he's in California. How'd you guys record this album?
This album here was done half in L.A. and half in New York in our studio in Queens. He got this thing called Rap Camp over at his crib. Like, he got a big compound and all the rappers like R Future and Oh No and Planet Asia, Action Bronson, like just mad different new rappers and whatnot. Rock Marcy, it all like being Cali, working with Al at the crib. So I was over there just working on songs, and I would end up getting on songs with Damo Genesis and just getting on songs with Action and different people and whatnot. And then we just picked them which ones we wanted to use for the album later on. Like Damo would take a song, use it for his mixtape, or Action would take something, use it for his album, and then I would take something and use it. Like, so nothing was like really planned. Like, all right, today we're going to do a song for Albert Einstein album. Nah, it was just like, most of the songs that we did out there in Cali was just like, we was just recording, having fun.
That's crazy, because everything in the album sounds real consistent and cohesive. Like, y'all planned it out. Like, it was a blueprint from top to bottom. It just got a mood, a feeling to it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, we made a lot of songs, and some of them we didn't put on the album, but I think we picked the right ones that had that all, you know, gelled together. It all sound like the same feel, that same vibe.
What does DKV stand for?
IMDKV. That's Infamous Mobb Deep. Like back in the days, in the songs, I used to be like IMD. You know what I mean? It's Infamous Mobb Deep. And then the KV is just King Vulture, because my crew, like, we got this thing where we call ourselves vultures. You know how women be like, oh, men are dogs. We would say, nah, we vultures. You know what I'm saying? Like, we worse than the dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we come through, we taking all that. When it come to, like, getting food. Like, I'm gonna give you a perfect example. At a video shoot, you know how the stylists come with all the clothes and whatnot? Don't let us see that. We taking home. You know, sometimes they be like, yo, you can't take this. We gotta bring it back. Nah, we taking all of that.
do they ever just go, okay, and charge it, baby? Like, don't say nothing to me. We just gonna charge you and just put it,
probably
put it in the budget.
They probably did that to us.
Yeah.
Like, we used to be in the studio. We was young and dumb, man. And we had the budget open. Motherfuckers would come to the studio ordering diapers, ordering milk. We bring milk home. Like, we going grocery shopping with the studio food budget. Like, niggas ordering groceries, going home with bags like this from the studio.
Y'all took it
and we
to
was
the
letting
next
our,
level.
We was letting our friends do it too. Like, our friends would come to the studio like, oh yeah, they got the budget open over there.
Yo, I know about like bringing the fam, the, you know, your community in to sit down and have dinners with your diapers.
Well, that your son order some spaghetti and shit. Milk. I gotta bring shit home tonight.
Y'all took it to the next level.
Well, like, it's over. Like, we vultures. Like, that's how we used to be.
He runs a label now. You know, he's a respected gentleman.
Oh, I see. The shoe's on the other foot.
He's grown up now. That was like a juvenile way of thinking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
I do.
I want to ask you, on the song, Give 'Em Hell, do you feel like people still take shots at you?
On the song, Give 'Em Hell?
Yeah, because it sounds like, you know, I don't know if it sounds like, you know, you're really specifically talking at someone, or is it just kind of like an open?
Nah, to me, it's like, I got a bunch of haters, Mobb Deep and Prodigy, speaking for myself, I got a bunch of haters, like, from the neighborhoods that we grew up in. We had to learn how to deal with people, you know what I mean, how to keep certain people at a distance, how to cut people off completely.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of the songs when I'm writing, I'm talking to these people, because there's a lot of people that make threats, like, when I see P, I'm gonna do this, and when I'm gonna do this, and so it's like, when I'm writing my songs, I'm talking to them.
Have you ever had to, you know, since the success and stuff like that, I mean, like, really, at this stage, still having to back people down, 2013?
I still keep ties with them, so it's like, it's a fine line you gotta walk, you gotta be careful. I can't hang out as much as I want, my peoples want me to hang out, I'll be like, nah, I ain't going out. They be like, come on, P. I'm like, nah. You know, I'm still out there. I'm still dealing with my people. You know what I mean? And I'm still dealing with jealousy and certain things like that. But being through the situations that I've been through, like getting locked up for the gun or whatever and serving in 3 years, like, it taught me how to move better now. It taught me how to not do certain things and how to just move better, like, keep myself away from certain people, certain times. You know what I mean?
So you feel like, does a hip-hop, like, save your life, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. It gave me a life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because my life before hip-hop was just pain. Like, sickle cell was my life before hip-hop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I ain't really have no life. That was it. You know, I'm growing up, and just that's all I knew, was just being in a fucking hospital all the time. Mm-hmm. And then music, when I first started hearing, like, Run DMC, Sucker MCs, and, like, LL, My Radio, and, you know, the Juice Crew and all that, I started seeing all of that. You know, the aggressiveness of it just attracted me to hip-hop, because I was angry inside. I was an angry kid because of the sickle cell, and so I liked the anger in hip-hop. So that's what attracted me to it. That's what made me want to do it. It made, helped me get my aggression out.
You do anger very well. Yo, I don't care. It's like, no matter, I still DJ across the world, and it's just like, yo, you throw a Mob joint on, and it's just like, oh, man, the energy shifts in the room, but still. Yeah. Like, I heard with some Lil Jon songs, you know, people start turning into a fight and whatnot, but with your songs, it's just like, it gets very aggressive, but it's still, like, that good energy, you know, people singing the joints to us, like.
I've read a lot of, like, articles from writers and stuff like that, like, people that write blogs and stuff like that, and a lot of people, they tend to think, like, oh, you know, how old are you now? You don't live that life no more. Like, why are you still rapping about what you're rapping about? Don't grow up already. Like, I think that most of these people, they never lived that life at all. Mm. So they can't even understand, like, how somebody could still be rapping about that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just don't get it, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's clear they don't get it. I think if they really paid attention to this album, it's not like you talking from, like,
just reckless.
Yeah,
shit.
You're not talking reckless. Nah. Like a song like Breeze, for example. Like,
I love that song.
I love that song.
Thank you.
And it's like, you can learn from it. You know, if you're 13, you're 15,
I think I'm talking about, now at this point in my life, I'm talking about being successful and protecting my success.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And protecting, it's just like, Jay-Z does that good, you know, Nas does it good. Like, they talk about being successful and protecting it. Like, yo, if you try to come and snatch my chain, you're gonna have a problem getting away with that.
When you imagine somebody is listening to this album,
man,
what do you imagine that they're like? What else do they listen to? Where do they live?
I don't really put, like a stereotype on it, because I swear to you, I've seen people from all walks of life, like older white ladies, older black ladies, like young 17-year-old kids, Wall Street people from all walks of life that I've seen that like hardcore hip-hop music, like, you know, Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang, Nas, you know what I mean? Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, just like certain music, they just love that. That's what they grew up with, you know what I mean? I just think about people that, if you listening to my music, you must really like lyrics and like unique sounding beats.
Storytelling,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's cool, you guys are giving the instrumentals from this album through Send a Package.
You are?
Yeah, not from this album, but we might do something like that now, as you say, but we're going to make us original instrumentals.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's like, I got a bunch of producers that are getting together, and they're making an instrumental album. It's all original, like, no, brand new beats that I never heard before. But the reason why we're doing that is because when I was locked up, that was one hard thing for me to do, was to get beats. And they can't just send, they can't be like, all right, I'm dropping a CD in the mail. It don't work like that. You can't have CDs in New York State prison. You can only have cassettes, and you can only have cassettes that don't have screws in it. And it can only come from a reputable distributor. And it has to be shrunk wrap, sealed in a shrink wrap. So it's like, for me, when I tell Alchemist, yo, I need some beats, it takes 6 months for him to get me the beats because I have to go through a crazy process. I have to send it to a distributor, shrink wrap it for me. And it's just mad crazy, yo. Like, I had to basically smuggle the music in jail. Luckily, I know people that can shrink wrap and do all of that with the invoice and all that. So luckily, I knew some people to do that. But for your average inmate, they don't know distributors that they can shrink wrap and all the stuff that I had to go through. So for your average inmate, they just rapping the best of Jay-Z instrumentals, the best of Nas instrumentals, or the best of whoever, like, you know what I mean? So, and I can't, it's hard for me to do that. Like, when I first went in, in order to get music, you got to order from the prison catalog. And the prison catalog, most of it is bootleg music, sound like shit. Most of it is like mixtape stuff, it's just not good quality. And when you order it, it's expensive. You know what I mean? They want like $20 for some or whatever. But when I get, I ordered some instrumentals so I could start writing. But then it's like I can't get the same vibe like when it's a beat that I heard before. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like spitting. Like, I'm trying to write an ill new song to Ether. Like, it don't work. Because, you know, Nas already bodied that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to have a brand new beat to be inspired, you know what I mean, for my creativity to come out. So I came up with the idea, like, yo, when I met Chris Barrett, that owns SendItPackage.com, I came up with the idea, yo, we should put instrumentals, original instrumentals in a prison catalog. So people that write R&B or whatever you write, they can have some inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And hear some new beats.
Great idea.
You know what I mean?
So how's it feel running a label? You ready to get artists upset with you?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy, man. It's not glamorous or none of that, because I'm doing this all myself. That's right. I got a straight distribution deal, so I just pay a 20% distribution fee, and then I get the rest of the bread, but I got to pay for everything. I got to pay the staff, you know, everything, publicity, radio. I got to do everything, video, studio.
You hear that, kid?
Publishing splits. I got to do all the work. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. Look, it's a good thing, you know, considering, you know, the origin of everything and where you guys began, you know, to where you are now. I think it's a great story for any kid that's out there in Queensbridge or wherever you are, you know, just like dreaming, you know, wanting to get away from your present world and not really thinking that there's an opportunity, there's anything for you. You got a purpose. You do have purpose. And, you know, look at your life. Look at Prodigy's life. Let that be your guide.
Yeah, I mean, we travel the world, man. Like, seeing every corner of the world damn near. And every time I'm in these places, I'll be looking around like, damn, a lot of people ain't going to get to see what I'm seeing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So it definitely inspires me to keep it going because I know how big we are, because I've seen how big we are. Like, I've been everywhere around the world, and they know who we are. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that inspires me to keep going. A lot of people may think, like, oh, why are you trying to be an independent label now? Why you ain't do that from the beginning? I mean, because my life didn't pan out like that.
Right.
In the beginning, we was kids coming into the game, and we signed a regular artist deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we made our money. We made a fuckload, lot of money, like a lot of bread. So, and we fucked off a lot of bread too. But at the same time, it was like a learning lesson for me. Like, I learned from people like Puff. I seen how he built his brand and his label from the very beginning. And I seen the work that it takes to get it to that point. I seen how Jay-Z built his brand from the very beginning. Like, they were older than us. We were like the little wild kids, you know what I mean? So that was inspiring for me to be able to see all of that up front and close, you know what I'm saying? And when I got old enough, I was like, yo, that's what we gotta do. We gotta control the business, ownership, own your masters, own the label. Like, this is what we can do. And I like, not only is that, I like doing that. Like, I like going to the office every day and taking care of business, making phone calls, make 100 phone calls a day, do what we gotta do. Like, I enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy building something. I learned that from my grandmother. Like, my grandmother was an ill businesswoman. You know, she built her business from her basement, her home in Southside Jamaica, Queens.
She was a dance teacher?
Yeah, she had the second biggest dance company in the world. You know what I mean? Bernice Johnson Dance Studio. Second next to Alvin Ailey. You know what I mean? So, and she started from her basement with like 4 students.
Was there anything that she ever told you that really stuck with you?
Yeah, just about like ownership. You know, my mom, she was from that era where there was a lot of racism and all that, so she was on her, like, culture. Know your culture, study your culture, be proud of being black, and own your shit. Own your shit. Own a house. Own a business, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And put your money in the bank. Live off of the interest of your money. Don't spend all your money. Just live off the interest checks once you got a nice stash in the bank. A lot of stuff she told me, even about show business, because she was, like, the queen of like show business. Like, she was one of the original Cotton Club dancers. Lena Horne was her best friend. Like, Diana Ross was another one of her best friends. Like, I grew up around an ill show business family, so I seen every aspect of it. Like, from the crazy flashy to the whatever, like Mobb Deep style. Like, you know what I'm saying? I seen all spectrums of the show business. So it's like, I learned a lot from her.
Are there any words that you, like a motto or anything like that that you live by?
That I live by?
Yeah.
Do or die. That's my favorite one. Do or die. Do you want to be successful or do you want to be a bum? And that's my motivation right there. I'll be like, wake up in the morning, I sit up in the bed. All right, those two choices, success or bum. I'm going with success. Get up and make a phone call, nigga. Brush your teeth. Get out the house. Go do something. Word. That's my motto, though. It works for me. You know what I mean? It works. Everybody's different, though. I think me having sickle cell, it made me a little different than other people. You know what I'm saying? Because it made me be more laid back. I couldn't interact with the playing basketball, football. I couldn't do all the crazy contact sports when I was a kid. So I used to just be like on some laid back analyzing shit. And just being like that, it caused me to you know, just be more of a thinker and think far into the future and just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It made me a better business person having sickle cell, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it also stopped me from destroying my body with drugs and alcohol and all that. Like, you know, I dibbled and dabbled in it, you know what I mean? But having sickle cell will stop you from doing all of that shit. Like, you gotta eat right, take care of your health. Like, you can't fuck around, you know what I'm saying? Or you will die from that shit. You will die from sickle cell. You're not supposed to live past 40 with sickle cell. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So it caused me to take care of my health, which in turn, it's like a domino effect. That caused me to be a better person. You know what I'm saying? Because when you take care of your health, you start looking at life different. And you start looking at people different. And your actions and your thoughts different. And it just shapes you into a different type of person. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I love you breaking that down because you might not get that just from listening to your records.
Yeah. Nah, you definitely won't get that.
That's a fair point.
Nah, but you know what? You will get that if you listen to some. But you will have to listen to all of my music in order to find it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's in there somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Out of the millions of songs.
No doubt.
There's a message in there somewhere. Well,
I'm riding with Albert Einstein. All it's on repeat. You know, I don't know what the rest of your summer, all you guys out there, what you're listening to, but we're listening to Albert Einstein. We're so happy to have Prodigy up here. Just keep doing it. I think this album, Albert Einstein, is timeless.
Thank you. You
know, like, it's hard to make classics, and to me, it's a classic.
Yeah.
True artist.
Word.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
Word.
No problem. Good. Thank you.
Cool.
I'm Franny Kelly.
It's Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
and this is Microphone Check.